Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Praise God. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 4, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 18 through 31. We're going to conclude chapter 4, and praise God, next week we'll continue with chapter 5. And so, I need your attention right up here on the screen. Let's go there right now. Here we go. And I've entitled this evening's message, "We Were Born of the Spirit." Born of the Spirit. And so, we're going to look at the conclusion of chapter 4. And Paul is going to just perfectly elaborate, describe, and show us that there was two types of birth given to mankind. One born of the flesh, which all of us came through the flesh, and then one born of the Spirit. And the Spirit is the Spirit of promise. And we're going to see how this unfolds, how this develops in these last verses of Scripture in chapter 4. So, let's go there and let's break this down. Here it goes. Verse 18. "But it is good to be zealous and a good thing always, and not only when I am present with you, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again, until Christ is formed in you." Oh, I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you. Look at this. "Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, and the one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise." Look at this, verse 24. "Which things are symbolic? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all." Praise God, praise God. Look at this. "For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has made many children." Look at this. "For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise." Praise God. Verse 29 through 31. "But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we're not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free." Praise God, praise God. Amen, amen. And so, my friends, let's break this down. Expository teaching this evening, line by line, precept upon precept. Let's start with verse 18. Here we go. "But it is good to be zealous in a good thing always, and not only when I am what? Present with you." You see, saints, Paul acknowledged that eagerness helps, especially when a leader cannot be with them, but could depend on their faithfulness. But eagerness needs to be the right goal or the object, saints of God. You see, Paul worried that his Galatian friends were becoming eager over the lie that the human moral and ethical efforts can satisfy God's perfect standard. and we all understand it can't. The false teachers were eager to win over the Galatians in order that the Galatians would be eager to support them. You see, we're going to see in this study that there was a conflict then, no differently than there's a conflict today. So let's go to verse 19. My little children, from whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. I need you to catch that. You see, my friends, while the false teachers simply sought a larger following, Paul saw these believers as his dear children. And obviously, his motives differed from the false teachers, for he loved the Galatians dearly as a mother loves her children. Paul compared the labor pains of childbirth to the pain he felt at their turning from faith. You see, my friends, you and I have experienced that no differently. How many of you can honestly say you have led others to Christ, to watch them grow and watch them be nourished by the Word of God, and then all of a sudden, something happens in their life and they turn away? Something else grabs their attention. A lot of times, it's the opposite sex that comes into their life. Instead of getting rooted in Christ, they get drawn away. And the way Paul went through that same pain, especially with the Judaizers, the false teachers, we experience the same thing when our loved ones, our friends, people that we led to the Lord fall away. And so Paul's concern, my friends, would continue until Christ would be fully developed in their lives. Paul wanted each of his children to reach spiritual maturity so that they can have their faith built up to the highest it could go. And they would do so, saints of God, by having the likeness of Christ portrayed in their lives. Fully developed in your lives refers to a mother carrying an embryo until it's developed enough to be born. Praise God, praise God. Having Christ, my friends, becoming fully developed in their lives, it emphasizes the personal changes necessary to become like Jesus. Praise God, praise God. Let's go to verse 20. I would like to be present with you now and change my tone, for I have doubts about you. Wow, wow. And so, saints, as with any confusion or misunderstanding, face-to-face talk accomplishes more than correspondence. You see, wouldn't you would rather have a dialogue with someone, especially of something that's significant and important? You know, sometimes texting or even emailing, we could read it in the wrong spirit and thinking that they're mad or they said something that didn't make sense. I would rather be face to face with them so I can explain my position and I can hear their position. And then we can come to a meeting of the minds. Can I get an amen? But sometimes texts and emails, they could become inappropriate and we can misunderstand the whole meaning behind it. Well, look at it in a different spirit. And so Paul, he could not pick up and dash off to Galatia. You see, he couldn't text them, email them. He couldn't do none of that. And Galatia was far away when he was in Rome. And so if he could, he might change his tone, but not his message or his expectations. Those would always remain the same, for they were true and correct. Paul was led by the Holy Spirit of promise to bring truth. And Paul wrote this one-sided letter, saints of God, because he didn't know what else to do. Praise God, praise God. Let's move on to verse 21. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Did you catch that, my friends? He's asking this question. And under the influence of the false teachers, the Judaizers, the Galatians wanted to live under the law once again. Paul wanted to turn them back to accepting salvation by grace through faith alone, my friends. He confronted them directly by saying, do you not know what the law really says? The Galatians believers, most of them, not from a Jewish background, and thus with little more than elementary understanding of the Jewish law, many have answered an indignant yes, not knowing that they didn't even know the law. You got to remember, a lot of them were Gentiles, and they all turned from the faith. And Paul had to come back and write to them and encourage them to turn from these fables and lies, no differently than what has taken place in the time that we live in. There's so many different denominations, and every one of them says we have the truth. But let me just say this: if the gospel is not preached with spirit and in truth, if the gospel is not preached to repent and turn from your wicked ways and turn to the living God, if the gospel is not preached in that manner and everything feels good and fluffy, run from that place. Why? Because many who haven't repented will never become born again. It's God's order. Repent. Believe. Receive God's grace, His love. Receive the blood of Jesus to cover your sins. And then God will fill you with the Holy Spirit of promise. You see, my friends, hopefully they would have halted long enough to realize the impossible standards under which they were placing themselves. Let's move on to verse 22. Look at this. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. This is where Paul is going to dissect this for us. Praise God, praise God. You see, my friends, Paul turned to an argument from the Jewish scripture and the life of Abraham, father of the Jewish nation, to illustrate his point. The story originally recorded in the book of Genesis was summarized by Paul as a fundamental spiritual lesson demonstrated by Abraham, his two sons, and his two wives. And in ancient times, a mother's status affected the status of her children, praise God. Paul reminded his reader, saints, that Abraham had two types of sons, one born of a slave wife and the other one born of his freeborn wife. Paul wanted the Galatians to consider which type of descendant these Judaizers were more like and decide which they themselves desired to be like. And so we're going to see this clearly as Paul demonstrates this. Let's move on to verse 23. Look at this. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh. Uh-oh, here we go. And he of the free woman through promise. There you go, there you go. Paul is now dissecting this apart for us. Praise God. You see, saints, besides the contrast in the status of the two mothers, the two boys were different in another important way. You see, Abraham's son by the slave woman was born in a human attempt to bring about the fulfillment of God's promise of descendants for Abraham. Ishmael's birth was engineered by Abraham and Sarah to make the promise come true, and by their own plans and efforts rather than waiting on God's timing. Let me just say this, my friends. I just need to say this. There have been promises made to many people, and instead of waiting on God, they made up their own plan and said, I can't wait for you, God. I don't even know if you're going to answer our promise. And so they go ahead of God and they create their own plan to watch it crash and burn. If God has promised you something, then wait upon the Lord. The Bible says clear. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. You see, my friends, Abraham's son by the freeborn wife, which was Sarah, was born as God's own fulfillment of promise. And when Abraham was 99 years old, did you catch that? 99 years old, and Sarah was 90 years old, God appeared to Abraham and promised Isaac's birth. Praise God. Praise God. Let's go now to verse 24. Look at this. Which things are symbolic? For these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. Let's look at this for a moment. Which is Hagar. We're going to look at Hagar first. Praise God. Praise God. You see, by using this illustration, Paul was showing that what happened to Sarah and Hagar pictures the relationship between God and humankind. And though perhaps difficult for us to follow, this was a common type of argument in Paul's day, saints of God. Paul was pointing to a great spiritual truth illustrated by this story, namely the superiority of Christianity over Judaism. Praise God. That's right. The two women, Hagar and Sarah, represent God's two covenants. And the two well-known covenants were made with Abraham and with Moses. And the one covenant with Moses had begun at Mount Sinai with the giving of the law. Praise God, praise God. Hagar was a slave wife. Thus, her children would be slaves for a child's status, which equaled the status of his or her mother. It all goes back and points to the mom. And although both sons had the same father, their mothers were different, and their descendants became two different races. Ishmael, the Ishmaelites, Isaac, the Jews. Ishmaelites meaning the Arabs. And so the Jews proudly considered themselves children of God's covenant. However, saints of God, Paul refuted the claim, reminding them of the two covenants and explaining that because of their behavior, the Jews were actually children of the covenant with Moses, the covenant of the law. Oh, that's right. You see, the Judaizers claim superiority for their point of view, by claiming that the blessings of the covenant came to the descendants of Abraham through Isaac, and Gentile Christians would be adopted into Abraham's covenant by God's grace. Hallelujah, accepting the circumcision. But no, no, no. Remember, we've been reading in Galatians. Paul had to refute the Gentiles and says, we're not saved through circumcision. We're circumcised of the heart. Through God's grace, we are saved. You see, my friends, Paul contradicted the Judaizers by showing that those who promote the law for salvation or even sanctification demonstrate the characteristics of slavery to the law. Paul claimed that they were products of Sinai, the Sinai covenant, not Abraham's covenant, through grace and mercy. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, trying to win salvation by obeying the law leads to slavery. And as the Jews persisted in this pattern, they showed themselves to be enslaved to their law. Although the Jews had descended from Abraham and Isaac, as they tried to piously obey their laws, they were actually slaves to it. Wow. And as slaves, they were more like Ishmael than Isaac. Praise God. Let's move on to verse 25. Look at this. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. Praise God. Praise God. Did you catch that, my friends? Huh? Did you catch that? We're free. You see, saints, not only do the women and their children represent two covenants, they all also represent the two Jerusalems. Hagar represents the old covenant given at Mount Sinai. She also represents the city of Jerusalem, which was enslaved to Rome, and then as the center of the Jewish religious and legal system, and was filled with people in slavery to the Jewish law. Oh, that's right, that's right. Now, Sarah, on the other hand, represents the heavenly Jerusalem, the promise of faith and freedom. Praise God. That's what Jesus came to give us. And he came through the lineage, hallelujah, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You see, my friend, Sarah was mother of the promised miracle child Isaac and corresponds to the covenant of Abraham inferred in this teaching. That's right. You see, my friends, this covenant, it promised a future, new covenant that would begin at the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Paul used the concept, she is our mother, to show that faith, not adherence to the law, is the source of our salvation. Praise God, praise God, praise God. It came through Abraham and Sarah. That was the promise. And Paul was offering the Galatians the opportunity to claim that they were descendants of Abraham through faith and that they possessed citizenship in the spiritual Jerusalem. For Gentiles to be included in this way, my friends, would be as miraculous as the birth of Isaac. And when they were, when he was birthed at that age that Abraham and Sarah was, it was a miracle. It was a miracle. So let's look at verse 27. Look at this. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has made more children than she who has a husband. Wow. Wow. Look at Paul just breaking this down, my friends. Just breaking it down. You see, saints, Paul quoted from Isaiah's prophecy. Isaiah's words had comforted the Jewish exiles in Babylon. To be childless in ancient days meant great shame and disgrace for a woman. Israel had been unfruitful like a childless woman, but God would give great blessings and would change their mourning into rejoicing. Praise God. Paul applied the comparison of the former versus latter, the latter blessings prophesied by Isaiah, to his Hagar, Sarah analogy. Praise God. And Sarah, who had been barren, was blessed with Isaac. Praise God. Praise God. Her child was a gracious gift, not the result of work. It wasn't planned out. It was given by God, His grace and His mercy. And because God had promised to bless Abraham and his descendants, she ultimately would have more children than all the women. The Christian church grew rapidly and is still growing. Praise God. We're part of that blessing. This is why we're born. I got our topic. We were born of the Spirit. Praise God. And in order to be born again, you must be born a second time. The spiritual birth that comes from heaven. Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Praise God. Praise God. So, in order for us to have salvation, our salvation came through Abraham and Sarah, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thousands of years later, it was the lineage that God chose, the path that God chose for you and I. And so, saints, while the Jews knew or should have known from their own scripture that Gentiles would turn to God, two changes astounded them. Number one, the Gentiles did not have to become Jews first. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? We didn't have to go through all their rituals. And so, number two, and many Gentiles would become believers, that they would outnumber Jewish believers. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? There are so many now Gentile believers that outnumber the Jews of today. And that's God's plan. Because Jesus came to be a light for the world. He came to save and seek those who were lost. And you and I at one time were lost without a cause. Jesus came, hallelujah, seeking us out. He went through the highways and the byways. That's right. He came all the way through our hood. Oh, that's right. I grew up in National City. He came all the way in the hood of National City. Praise God to save me. Where did you grow up? God came looking for you. Can I get an amen? Praise God. God sought us out. He called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And then He gave us a mind to be saved. He gave us a heart to repent. He allowed us to cry out and say, Abba, Father. He allowed us to come humbly, yet boldly to the throne room of grace. And now, hallelujah, we have a God in heaven that loves us, that cares for us, that watches over us. Can I get an amen in the house? Nothing formed, hallelujah, against you shall prosper. Thank you. And in every tongue that comes against you, God will condemn it in judgment. Praise God. You got to know that God is for us. He's not against us. Praise God. How many are in love with Jesus? He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the bright and morning star. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's from everlasting to everlasting, for He is God. He is the bishop and lover of our souls. Praise God, praise God. And God is going to complete His perfect will in your life, in my life. Nothing will come in its way. Can I get an amen in the house? Nothing will come in its way. He will shove everything out of His way to allow you to continue and complete what He has started in you. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. How many love God tonight? You better love Him tonight. You better have loved Him yesterday, and you better love Him tomorrow. Can I get an amen? Because He's the soon coming King. Praise God. Let's move on to verse 28. Now, we brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. Children of promise. Praise God. Saints, the Galatians who had become children, Christians under Paul's ministry, fit into the analogy as children of the promise, just like Isaac. And just as Isaac's birth was a miracle of God, so Christianity offering people the opportunity to be born again is a miracle of God. Praise God. And just as Isaac's mother was free, so Isaac was free, and so Christianity offers true freedom because it depends not on our actions, but on God's unchangeable promises to us. You see, my friends, Paul hammered home his point to the Galatian believers. As children of the promise, you never need to be enslaved to the Jewish laws. You are like Isaac. Praise God. Praise God. So, let's move on to verse 29. Here we go. Verse 30, I believe. Yes. Nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be her heir with the son of the free woman. Praise God. Praise God. Are you catching that, my friends? Did you catch that? Praise God. Praise God. That was such a huge, huge blessing to understand what God had done for you and I, my friends. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, Scripture says that Sarah saw this happen and went to Abraham and demanded that Hagar and Ishmael be sent away. The second question refers to the application. So what happens to Ishmael, the Jews, and Isaac, and Christians today? Judaism and Christianity cannot coexist as paths to the same goal any more than Ishmael and Isaac could share Abraham's inheritance, praise God. And perhaps most ironic was Paul's bold clarification of this old story. The Jews had long held that this verse described God's rejection of the Gentiles. But Paul turned the tables. You had it wrong. Jews and Gentiles are included together in God's inheritance. And when they become believers or they become like Isaac, hallelujah, those who reject grace lose their share in the inheritance, whether unbelieving Jews or unrepentant Gentiles. Those are the Ishmaels. Those in slavery to the law will not share the family of inheritance with those who have experienced freedom in Christ and salvation by faith alone. And my friends, we're coming to a close to verse 31. So then, brethren, we're not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Praise God. Praise God. Saints, Paul tied up his allegory, and indeed all the points he proved with it, with the simple word, so. He repeated that we, that is all believers of all time, are children of the free woman, acceptable to God because of our faith. And that woman that he's referring to is Sarah. And that freedom must be treasured because of the price that was paid for it. My friends, I'm here to let you know that time is coming to a close. Time is coming to an end. And I truly believe soon and very soon, the Lord Jesus Christ is about to appear. And we're going to almost be out of here. How many believe that? How many believe that Jesus is about to return? We're seeing the signs. Jesus said it would be like the days of Lot and Noah. And the days of Noah, it was very violent. It was very wicked. It was very grueling kind of like violence like we see today. And the days of Lot, it was sexual immorality everywhere. Oh, that's right. There was homosexuality and transgenderism all over the place. And God had to send angels to rescue Lot. And that is a type of God coming to rescue them out of judgment. And Jesus is coming to save us and take us out as He judges. He has to judge the world for its wickedness. My friends, the next greatest event that's going to take place is the rapture of the church. My question is, are you ready? Have you prepared to meet the King? Have you repented of your sins? Have you cried out to God and said, God, forgive me? Why? Because there's promises. The same promise that we read, that the salvation would come through the lineage of Abraham and Sarah. Well, through that lineage came the Lord Jesus Christ, and through Christ came salvation. And through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and then He ascended to be with the Father. He sent the Holy Spirit to live in our hearts by faith. But the only way we're going to receive that is to repent and to turn toward God. And then we can receive the promise. What is the promise? Let's look at this in Scripture. Let's look at this. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, "But I don't want to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again," look at this, "even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus." Praise God, praise God. Look at this. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself," look at this, "will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first." Look at this. "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." Look at this. "Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Aren't you so blessed? God has a plan. He has a promise for you and I. But we have to give our heart to Christ in order to receive that. My friends, I'm here to let you know the next greatest event that's going to take place here on this planet is the taking away of God's church, the bride of Christ. Jesus is going to take us home to be with Him. And 7 years, this world is going to go through a harsh tribulation. Some believe it could start at the end of September, at the beginning of Rosh Hashanah. I'm not setting dates. I'm just telling us to have our eyes looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Because these bodies of flesh cannot go into heaven. A supernatural event must take place. And it's spelled out in the Word of God. Look at this. In 1 Corinthians 15, 50-54, Paul wrote to them and said, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep," meaning we shall not all die physically, "but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." That's faster than the speed of light. "At the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be" what? "Changed." Look at this. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Aren't you so blessed that God has made a way? But those of you who are watching right now, maybe for the first time, maybe never repented, meaning made an about face, turn from your sin, turn your back on sin, and turn to God and ask God for forgiveness of your sin. Ask Him to wash you in the blood and to fill you in the Spirit of Christ so that you can also go with many of us when He comes for us. Listen, if that has not happened yet, please do not allow this, what you're about to see and hear, happen to you. Let's look at this right now.
Jesus Christ is coming back for His church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming." I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or He might come next week, or He could even come...
My friends, I'm always going to ask this question, are you ready? Are you ready? Listen. Listen very carefully. You don't have to be left behind like what you just saw. All you have to do is do it the Bible's way. Do it through the Scripture. Believe God for what His Word says and watch God do the miraculous in your life. I want you to look at this verse of Scripture right up here. It was written by Luke in the book of Acts. And he wrote down what Peter the Apostle preached on the Feast of Pentecost, his very first sermon. And 3,000 souls got saved. 3,000, just, you can't even fathom that. But it happened. But look what he said. Then Peter said to them, "Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." That means forgiveness. "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, to all afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Praise God. Praise God. There it is, my friends. There it is in a nutshell. Praise God. Praise God. Listen. I'm going to give you that opportunity right now that you don't have to be left behind that what you just saw. Because God loves you and He wants to bless your life and He wants to save you from this untoward generation. And all you have to do is receive Him by faith. If that's you, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's watching right now to pray with me, to pray for you, that God would save you from the guttermost to the uttermost, and you will join many of us to be with Him in heaven when He comes for His church. If that's you, bow your heart and your head and pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to You that I'm a sinner. I do believe on Your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that You died for me. And the blood that You shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask You now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor You and to follow You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory. Somebody got saved. And listen, down below is our banner. Log on. We want to reach out to you. We want to give you a Bible. We want to pray for you and point you to a church that will teach the unadulterated Word of God. And I also want to give a great big shout out to all of you that continue to bless the ministry. Down below, as you can see, donations are deeply appreciated. Well, my friends, it's time to say goodnight. And on behalf of Sister Yolanda in the Amazing Grace family. We want to leave you this benediction as we conclude our Bible study for this evening. I look forward to seeing you Sunday morning at 10 o'clock at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. And so we hope to see you there. Just remember, right after service, we're having a potluck. Bring some goodies. Bring your favorite dishes. And then 1 o'clock to 2:30 is our healing rooms. And so may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And so we love you. God bless you. And we'll see you Sunday morning. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.